Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I'm wearing my most festive Thanksgiving wear because today is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, listeners, you know that holiday that we celebrate, you know, where we really should recognize that, you know, Thanksgiving really did come from a place that's literally not something that we should celebrate. However, we still do. You know, to give thanks to our family and, you know, be with our friends and stuff like that. And, you know, this year I have actually been feeling really nostalgic for family. And I am in Denver right now at the time of filming this. And I really want to say that, you know, make sure to be kind to one another, listeners. Like, some people don't have the ability to go home for family. You know, chosen family is definitely a thing. And it's just one of those things right now where I know that I am lucky to have the family situations dynamic that I do, but not everybody has that. And so just be kind to one another. You don't necessarily know what's going to happen and you don't necessarily know what's going on. But so let's lead in with that. So every year for Thanksgiving at my house, my mom always usually cooks. Back when I was a kid, we used to do this thing where we'd all go to my aunt or my grandma's house and we would just like get together as a family. And also when I was a kid, we used to drive around to other people's Thanksgivings, like my aunts and uncles and things like that, and like spend time with them, with their family. We would watch movies and just hang out and get to be together. And it was actually really nice. Also this last week at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Sophie, one of the owners who I interviewed on this podcast, actually opened up the bar later for us so me and my drag family could all come and hang out. Yeah, it was me, Crucifix Magnetic, Sequin McQueen, Brittany Yon, Karaoke, Aziza Holiday, Luna Holiday, TBD Holiday, and then of course DJ Queer Cub. And it was a really fun, great, awesome experience. And you know, I'm really grateful to have those people in my life. When people talk about chosen family, especially in drag families, like it means so much more because we go through so many hardships, like trying to balance gender, learn who we are, have people accepting us. You know, some people aren't actually even out when they start doing drag. They're not even out as drag queens when they start doing drag, or drag kings as they're doing drag. Like, and so all of that stuff matters in the equation, and you need people in your community to support you as you're going through all of those things. You know, another scandal that recently happened in our community is that somebody had actually posted online how the Proud Boys were throwing a toy drive somewhere. And, this restaurant allowed the Proud Boys to do a toy drive there. And I wrote online, the Proud Boys throwing a toy drive doesn't outweigh their bigotry. I'd rather my community feel safe, loved, protected, and accepted over a kid getting a toy. Also, there are non-bigoted groups who do a toy drive each year. The thing is, I know some people will be like, well, you know, if they're doing it for a good cause, like, you should be able to look past that. The thing is, if they were doing a good cause that only they could do, then that would be something like, so people go back and forth with, like, the Salvation Army and Red Cross and, you know, all those, like, groups that, you know, are around the holiday season. And, you know, people tend to let certain things go because these groups are doing certain works on a really high scale. But what the Proud Boys are doing is they're doing something that a million other organizations are actually doing, because it's so easy to throw a toy drive. You just go to, you know, a group home, a foster home, things like that, and just be like, hey, like, we're going to do a toy drive. And then, like, people are on board. And that's just how it rolls. And so it's just kind of stupid that that actually even existed in our community. I got to bring Adam. So Adam, my husband, was only in town for one day and visiting my family. And we got to see a large portion of my family, which was wonderful. And we got to eat food and see stuff and just be a part of this journey. And I'm so happy that we got to have that moment and that time together. Also, listeners, let's keep this in mind. If you are in one of those situations where, you know, you're home for the family and they're not accepting you for who you are, remember to always just lean and lean and lean on your support system to be able to get through it. I'm right now dealing with a situation that I would love to tell you all about. My sister, I consider my sister to be a bigot. I really do. And my sister has been avoiding me since I've been home for the holidays. And so she's keeping my niece from me, which is, you know, understandable. She's the mom. But I find it really hard to be able to navigate the situation with my mom. My mom's a little bit older, and it sucks that her kids can't even be in the same room at the same time. And really, what happened was I was trying to have my sister help me out with an event I was planning by giving me some money. And basically, the last message that she had sent me went along the lines of, I really thought about it and I am going to give you this money, but I'm only going to give you half of the money that you asked for. And then also, and I also don't believe in the kind of event that you need this money for, which that's the part that really took me over the edge. And she's like, also, I want you to start sending our mom monthly, like monthly dollars because she's older and you're her son and you make a lot of money, so you should do that. And the last thing I said to my sister was, be like, you know what? You can go ahead and keep your money. I don't need to take money from a bigot. And that's the last time we spoke. I also found out on this trip that my family members have also coached my sister on how she operates and how she acts when it comes to homosexuality and sexual orientation. And I think that that is something to be really aware of. Because my sister is a God-fearing woman. She believes the, Lord, Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior, and that's all fine, that's all dandy, and I don't knock Christians at all. But at the same time, as she's using her religion to warp the minds of people around her. Like, I remember me and my niece were playing Guess Who. Guess Who's the game where you have to describe the person. And I said, I told my niece, they you can't ask if they're a man or a woman. And she said, well, why not? And I said, because they can't tell you if they are. And she's like, and my sister was like, oh, don't do that. That makes it so complicated. And I was like, also it makes the game more fair. Like if you ask if it's a man or a woman, like there's like lots of like femme presenting characters. Sorry, there's a lot of male presenting characters on the board. So if you happen to get a woman, like then you have to like put all of them down. Right. And so, because there's other things that you can easily say, but like, is your person wearing earrings? Does your person have long hair? Right? Like, it's just stuff like that. And you could figure it out from that capacity. But it was also an educational moment because really, you don't know anybody's gender until they tell you. You can make assumptions because we are people. We're allowed to make assumptions all day long. But it's also a good educational moment because you don't necessarily know the gender of anybody unless they tell you what they are. You go with societal norms think until somebody tells you differently. And I wish the world didn't work that way, but it does. And so it's just one of those situations that's really hard right now because my family feels a little bit broken because my sister is not on board with, where we're at when it comes to my sexual orientation. And the thing is, it sucks because I am so severely and unequivocally happy with my amazing life, my husband, and everybody in my world. And I just think that it's sad that my sister will never see that light and that love as it stands today. Yeah. I know that was a lot to digest, listeners. So let me ask, how are you doing this evening?
Get ready, folks, because the Ultimate Drag Extravaganza is hitting Portland. Join us on December 3rd for the moment you've all been waiting for. The moment, Camp Wanakiki Takeover, presented by Coco Gem Holiday and Autumn Rains. This show is guaranteed to be an absolute blast. Step into the spotlight as we welcome the stars from the sensational out TV show Camp Wanakiki. Get ready to be dazzled by the talents of Riley Poppyseed, Diana Fire, Claire Apparently, and Carly Unitemkleit. These Camp Wanakiki campers are bringing their A-game to the stage. But that's not all. Brace yourself for a mind-blowing lineup of local talent featuring the incredible Nisa Moorspoons, the fabulous Nashville Hot, the sensational Carrie O.K., the electrifying Rye Bread, and the incomparable Willy Wankme. Trust me, you don't want to miss a single performance. Mark your calendars because the doors open at 7 p.m. sharp. And here's a tip, snag your tickets early for just $10 during the pre-sale. And don't fret if you miss it. Tickets will be available at the door for $20. Head over to www.thecdsdrag.com/moment. That's www.thecdsdrag.com/moment to secure your spot. Oh, and here's a little secret. There are VIP options available, so why not treat yourself to the VIP treatment? Join us at the amazing Misfits Bar and Lounge, nestled at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97220, for a night you won't forget. Remember, folks, this event is strictly 21 and up, and guess what? We have DJ Queer Cub on deck to keep the beats pumping all night long. So what are you waiting for? Grab your friends, get those tickets, and get ready for a night filled with glamour, excitement, and unmissable performances. We'll see you at the moment, Camp Wanakiki Takeover, on December 3rd. Don't miss out on the drag event of the season. Be there or be square.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into what they tell you podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, listeners. In this half of the episode, I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. And I know that we have a few weeks to go, but I want to talk about New Year's resolutions because this last year I felt like I blinked and it went by in a second. I was doing drag full time, having my full time job as well, and I loved every single second of it, as burnt out as I felt. And this next year I'm hoping to change that up a little bit. The thing is, I am getting on the heels, like I am over the hill of what I want to do for drag. I can sense in the next couple of years, I will more than likely be quitting drag. I still enjoy it right now, but there are times when it does feel directly like a job. There are times when I get off work and I don't want to immediately start painting. There are times when I'm just like, wow, like I made $50 and I don't feel like I have anything to show for it. And I don't necessarily know if I want fame anymore as much as I just want to have the feeling of being content in my drag. Now, I love drag. I really do. But next year, I'm hoping to do more impactful things. A lot of people try to give me advice on this subject, which is really interesting. I don't know as a lot of people who perform as much as I do, doing different things. And so when I hear this advice, they're like, well, just do more impactful things. And they're like, no, that's the point. Like, I only do impactful things. And that's great. But I also feel like getting my name out there and getting people to show up to my shows is also being out in the community, you know, trying to encourage people to support me as they need to. And like also cultivating my fans and my friendships and relationships with bar owners and venues and whatever, whatever. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. And I know that that might not be necessarily what people want to hear, but that's kind of how I see it. And so next year I am going to be scaling back. I am like training up my drag family to take over some of my opportunities and some of my gigs. And that's just how it's going to roll. I also think that drag is actively changing in the community. So Badlands is opening, and Badlands is expected to have some like heavy hitting drag shows and doing stuff like that. And I really want to be a part of that story. I don't think I'll get to be, but if I don't, and like maybe when Badlands opens, that maybe will be like the start of like my decline into not doing drag as much. I think that they've already hired their drag artists that they want to work with just recently. Cause remember how I shared with all of you my story with Back to Earth? You know, it left a really negative taste in my mouth about queer spaces and the people that run them and the people that work in them. I think I like to try to cultivate spaces to where everybody feels welcome. It was really weird to not feel welcome in a queer space as a queer person who on a street that's the street that's called Martin Luther King. And as a Black queer person, I felt insanely uncomfortable because of a person that worked there. And what I think really needs to happen in this community is that we really need to check our egos and check where we're at when it comes to how we want to operate in this community as well. So with that, I am going to be cutting back and looking at people to taking over some of my gigs. And I'm kind of looking forward to that journey and to see what that brings for me. Also, I was talking to some of the other drag artists in the community. I was talking to some of my family members who are talented as well. And I was like, I get so tired on TikTok. Like, I get tired on TikTok or trying to make a TikTok or Instagrams and just constantly being on the internet doing X, Y, and Z to try to get my name out there and be that person that I need to be. And it can get overwhelming fast. It can. And so with this next year, I'm hoping to find more of a streamlined way of doing that, or more specifically working with a social media manager to get my stuff out there and to create some reels and some content for me. Like that's showcasing my shows as best as I can, because all of my old methods aren't necessarily working like they used to. So I want to find some better ways to be able to get my name out there and just party a little bit. With that too, next year, I'm hoping to have more quality time with my husband. He's been asking for almost about 6 months now. He's actually starting to not enjoy some of his gigs as well because we're constantly working. And so I'm trying to keep Mondays and Tuesdays clear and a couple of our Wednesdays clear and most of our Fridays clear. I don't know, that's a people are like, isn't that what most days are? Yeah, but I have drag usually every Wednesday, usually every Thursday and every Saturday and most Sundays. So trying to like keep the Fridays clear is what's going to keep us sane and happy in our relationship, I feel. And all of these announcements are going out to you first listeners, but let's keep it a little bit more positive. As we're celebrating Thanksgiving and we're looking around the table and we're understanding what we are giving thanks for, I want to give thanks for all of you. This podcast has been a really great experience in trying to get my voice out there and trying to get like myself known. And then also it's been a really great opportunity for me to just talk about the things that I want to talk about unfiltered as much as I can. I try not to edit my episodes as much as some other people do because I want it to be like my unfiltered thoughts. So even if I trip over words or whatever like that, I think that kind of makes it a little bit more real. Oh, just a side note. I was writing about this online. I watched the Matt Rife's comedy special, and one of my drag kids, Aziza Holiday, is actually Dahlia Bell, and who is a really well-recognized comedian as well. And so I had watched most of the special, but I actually found it to not be super enjoyable. I thought there was a lot of misogynistic comments that were made, and I don't people who are like, "Oh my God, PC police." But the thing is, like, some of those jokes are just not as funny. He was talking about a joke about like a waitress or a server or whatever who had like a black eye. I think it was a woman, and he basically said, "Why wouldn't you just keep her in the kitchen?" And like make all these kind of these jokes that are so old and so tired, and every way that you've said them is so old and so tired. And so that was uncomfortable. And I was like, "Oh my God, let's funnier way to say this." And then the other thing too is like Matt Rife is really famous just because of like he's hot. Like that's like he's famous because he's hot and he does amazing crowd work, and most people can see that, like he's hot and he does amazing crowd work, and like but his comedy special was just the most unrelatable thing in the world to me because I was like, how can you make a joke like if you're not going to make fun of yourself, like being attracted to old people does not make you weird or relatable. Like just being, or like not even saying being attracted to old people, just saying that he really likes old people. Like that was a whole uncomfortable experience. It really, really was. It just like, I'm like, you have to be like down to earth. Like you can't be like, "Oh, I'm super hot and I'm super funny and I'm quirky because I like old people." I'm like, how is that anywhere near comedy? Like it did not make any sense to me. Like I even talked about how when Ellen did her comedy special, and I think it was called Relatable. Like in the first joke of the entire special, she was like in her big house, and she's kind of like making fun of the fact that she's rich. And then like she, needed her towel, but her butler wasn't around and whatever, so she had to like get on the bath mat and she had to waddle over to the towel. And she's like, "Oh my God, is this a relatable experience?" Like, and she's so everything in her special, she's like, she talks about the fact that she's a dork. She made fun of the fact that she has to dance for everybody because she's literally a dancing monkey at this point. Like, she made all of these comments and points, and I think that that was so fantastic because it made it more relatable with what Matt Rife was doing. It was like, hey, hot person, like I can't relate to any of your stories. And a lot of the punchlines weren't heavy hitting. Dahlia, my drag child, said he's more of a personality than a comedian. Too many people don't understand the difference. And another comedian in the community was like, exactly. And having a Netflix special is wonderful, but literally, like, unless you're like a cis white woman, straight white woman, like you're just not going to get off on this dude unless, he's like laughing at you. Like he has a six pack and a jawline. And the thing is, I'm hating on him pretty hard, but, and it's going to probably sound like it's coming from jealousy. But the thing is, like, I watch this special. I love comedy. I watch stand up. I try to practice it. I've been doing stand up for 2 years now. I'm trying to like really understand what that means to me. And, I learn from when I bomb, I learn from when I succeed. And like, I'm really trying to focus on what this career path means for me. And I can tell you right now, like that special just to me wasn't very good. Like, because I can even get down with jokes that I know are funny, but I'm not laughing. I'm like, "Oh, that's really funny. Oh, that's really clever. Oh, that's good. Like, that's really, really good. That's super funny." And I'll say stuff like that even though I'm not laughing because it might not be my style of comedy. I wasn't doing that at all during the special. And I know this was like a huge rant to just say, like, God, the privileged. But the thing is, also, I want some oppression in my comedy. Like, I love when women talk about like women like related issues. Like, she's like, oh yeah, this guy came up under me on the street. I'm already invested. I'm already invested. And then like even with like older people, like older straight ugly comedians, they're like, yeah, I can take it where I can get it. Like stuff like that, you know, just stuff like that makes it feel more relatable. And it seems like a lot of the straight cisgender white comedians, the way that they make it nowadays is they do kind of at least poke fun at themselves a little bit for things that actually matter, not being interested in old people. Yeah, so sorry to go on that huge tangent, but it matters. It matters. And also, I have a comedy special coming up if everyone wants to come and boo me. I'll be posting it on my website, gemofasecretpodcast.com, if anybody wants to come see me potentially bomb a comedy special. So I'm a show comedy show. Keep that in mind. Oh, last note, just because I'm going to jump all over the place because it is Thanksgiving. My aunt had actually sent my mom a bunch of photographs of me and her when my mom was a kid. And I've never seen any of these photos before. A lot of them were black and white, which is kind of funny. And it was cool just to see my mom, you know, being a kid like me. Well, sorry, being a kid. Like, because I used to look at those photos all the time when I was a kid. So yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, listeners. Hopefully you enjoyed my tangents. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.